Ben Stiller is the son of comedians and best known for his role in comedies like Something About Mary, Meet the Parents, and Tropic Thunder. But in his new film, he's taken on a more serious role. He plays a 40-something musician-turned-carpenter just released from a psychiatric hospital, trying to find meaning in his life by, it turns out, doing nothing, a decision that intrigues a young woman named Florence.
I'm impressed by you.
In what way?
I don't know. I mean, you seem really fine doing nothing. It's like you don't feel all the pressure to be successful. I mean, by other people's standards.
You know, I almost had a record deal when I got out of college. I haven't done nothing.
Cool.
I want to be doing nothing. I'm doing nothing deliberately.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that I could do nothing and be that cool with everything.
Ben Stiller and Greta Gerwig in their new movie, Greenberg. And the actor joins us in a moment. We know you're a fan. We know you love his pictures. We don't need you to tell us that. If you have an actual question for Ben Stiller, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. And Ben Stiller joins us now from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm sort of bummed I don't get to see Gene Wilder, though, or you.
Oh, well, we're bummed we don't get to see you. We can't imagine the number of people who decided to come in today for some special reason.
I was so excited when I got the call to come on the show. I was like, yes, I get to see Neil. I get to see the, you know. I'm in an empty studio.
Well, that would have been a disappointment anyway.
No.
But I'm sure.
And Gene Wilder.
And Gene Wilder, who wasn't in the studio here either.
He is amazing.
San Diego. Amazing actor, yeah. You must have grown up watching his movies.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely, for me, sort of the up on the comedy Mount Rushmore. You know, I think what he did, even like, everything you want to know about sex, but we're afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm.
His sequence with the sheep was classic. Young Frankenstein and, all of his movies, the producers. He's one of those guys who his comic persona is so genuine and his comedy is so subtle and so real. And yeah, for me, he's sort of up there with the greats.
Do you empathize with him, what he was talking about there at the end, the difficulty of finding roles and producers who are willing to take chances on movies?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a tough business to navigate, really, to figure out what you want to do, what studios want to do. Even a movie like Greenberg, it was sort of not easy to put together, because I think these days what he was saying is true. You know, these big movies have now become such a business in terms of what the return can be on investments. It's become this math equation for studios, and it's sort of taken out the sense of just the creative choice and taking a flyer on a movie because it could be a good movie and maybe not make a lot of money.
I don't think Greenberg is going to make what Tropic Thunder made.
I don't know. Let's see what happens.
Well, I could be wrong.
You're probably right. But it's also, the budget is smaller and it becomes – that's what I meant by the equation, But it's tougher and tougher for the middle of the pack movies, the movies that are not small budget, not big budget, not, comedies, not special effects movies, but sort of that, mid-range drama. I think those are really tough to get off the ground now.
You are regarded, I would think, as somebody who is what they call a bankable star. Were you brought into this project to say, boy, if we can get Ben Stiller, we can get this made? Or were you part of this project to say, I'm going to join this and we're going to get it made?
I would hope the latter. I mean, I think it was, I was just happy to get the call from Noah because I was such a huge fan of his movies. And
The Squid and the Whale, I think people would remember.
Yeah, I did The Squid and the Whale and Margot at the Wedding. And before that, his first movie was Kicking and Screaming, which was made in the early 90s and was a really well-observed movie about that generation getting out of college. And he's just, for me, one of those writer-directors that has such a clear vision and he's so interested in the sort of, the small human minutiae of interaction and characteristics of people. And he lets the character's progression sort of be the story. And but in terms of like getting that movie put together, it wasn't that easy. And though it's a small budget movie, it's amazing to me the projections that the studios do and the way that they sort of try to forecast how a movie's going to do when in reality nobody ever has any idea how it's going to do.
And if they did, they would make a lot of money. And
of course, yeah.
Be in probably some other business. When you saw, did you see the script or did you help develop the script?
No, I saw the script, and the only input I had on when I got the script, I think he'd written it for a guy who was about 10 years younger,
mm-hmm.
and Greenberg's issues were kind of the same, but he was a guy who was in his early 30s, and so when I talked to him about it, and I really would have done anything he wanted me to do because he's just one of those filmmakers that I would go anywhere with. But I said, look, if I was going to play this guy, I feel like I'm a little old. And, you know, what I'm going through as a guy in his 40s, there's some different issues. And we started talking about that. And we just had a discussion about it, about what it meant to get into this, you know, get older, get to this point of your life. And then he went off and did a rewrite, not really based on any specific notes. I think it was just sort of what mm-hmm. he took away from it. And he came back with a pretty different movie that I thought was really amazing, because he'd sort of taken it to his own process, and it became more of a love story, I think, somehow. And so that's what it was. And then basically we did the script. I mean, the script did not change from the first day of rehearsal, and that was a really great experience to just do Noah's words and kind of approach it like a play.
That's interesting, because it sounds like it's ad-libbed, at least part of it.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the first movie for me that there was no improvisation. There's one scene where there's a little bit of improvisation at the end. There's one scene where Rhys Ifans and I are talking about what video to watch, and we talk about the movie Mannequin. And there's like a little interchange, and that's the only thing that was improv. But the rest of it was word for word, and Noah really writes very specific rhythms and overlapping dialogue in a way where, you know, I think people talk in a real way, where a lot of times people talk and they're not listening to what the other person is saying. They're sort of waiting for the other person to finish talking to complete their thought, or somebody will say something and that'll give you an idea of what you want to say, and you're just waiting for them to finish. And so all of that dialogue was word for word, and you know, forced us as actors to have to learn the dialogue, because it also was a low budget movie. So we had to come in and know the lines, because he'd shoot these 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 page scenes all in one shot. So that was great, because it really it made me realize as an actor how lazy you can be in terms of trying to change dialogue to be more comfortable for you to say as a person, as opposed to trying to understand what the character is saying. And I think he spent enough time working as a writer on this script that he really had – there was a reason why everybody said what they did. So that was it was good to work that way.
We're talking with Ben Stiller about his new movie, Greenberg. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And Nino's on the line from Augusta in Georgia.
Hello, Mr. Stiller.
Hey there. How are you?
Huge fan of your work.
Thank you.
Wondering if your being approached for this script was serendipitous, or were you looking to change your game? I know it's going to be a pretty serious movie, and I'm actually a huge fan of the movie Squid and the Whale. I think it's got some really raw moments. It's kind of funny, but were you looking to change your game kind of or something? Or?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I guess I'm always looking for something interesting and different to do, and I feel these are, you know, maybe it's just me personally, but I just haven't gotten that many scripts that are this good, I think, and with a filmmaker who has that clear point of view. I mean, so when Noah sent me the script, I was very excited to get it, because I feel like these script, you can get a great script if there's not a great director who's making the film. I feel movies are so much a director's medium, and to have a writer director like Noah, I just felt from the beginning I knew I'd be in good hands and be able to trust him. So for me, yeah, I actually have been looking to do something different and interesting like that. It's you know, for me, this was the first thing that came along that really made sense.
Oh, Nino, thanks.
Right. Well, I'm excited to see it. Thanks a lot, Mr. Stiller.
Thank you, sir.
And
thanks
for the phone call. Both the film and you have gotten good reviews. Do you think it's going to expand your opportunities?
I don't know. Maybe. You know, I'm just happy to be a part of the movie. I really feel... I really, you know, I'd never worked with Noah before, and really, I didn't really know him. I mean, he you know, I knew him through Wes Anderson, because I know Wes, and we'd worked together before. But I feel like we just got along really well, and we bonded, and sort of, we have a similar reference points in terms of what our comedic reference points are. People like Gene Wilder, his uh-huh. movies, TV shows like SCTV. Noah has a great sense of humor. His movies are known as sort of serious and you know, introspective, and he's interested in that world, but there's always humor within them. And I feel that's in any great drama, there's always humor within it, because that's what real life is about. So, you know, for me, the the great thing about this movie was the experience of making it. I never had an experience like that where it just felt so everybody was there because they wanted to be there. It was a real low budget. It was a short shoot, but it was really concentrated. And Noah and his wife, Jennifer Jason Leigh, were real collaborators on the movie. And it was they co-wrote it. And for me, it was the experience of making the movie. I walked away from the experience thinking, you know what, no matter what this thing is or how it's received, it was just a really fulfilling creative connection that we all had there. So.
Email from Sue in New York. Ben's parents are both so funny. What's the conversation like around the Thanksgiving dinner table?
You know, it's entertaining. I mean, it's. I think anybody's family is their family. So, you know, it's sort of hard to have the perspective. But my parents are, I really feel, are after working together. They've been married for, I think, 56 years now.
Hmm.
And they have such an incredible dynamic together that, you know, as a kid, you don't really appreciate it when you're a kid because of your parents. But now I feel like I can really have an appreciation of how funny they are together. I mean, we're just... The whole family was at a memorial for George Carlin a couple of nights ago, and my parents got up there, and, you know, what they do together and what they say and how, you know, it's sort of like they're like an organism together, and so they're very funny people.
Gene, Ben Stiller's new movie is Greenberg. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get David on the line. David's calling us from St. Louis.
Hi, how are you all today?
Good, thanks.
Hey.
I'm 44 years old. I'm very glad that you are making this movie, and I do nothing.
Okay.
I quit working in September 2005. I was in the insurance industry as an applications processor for 6 years, and they weren't going to promote me, which is fine. You know, it's kind of difficult to get promoted in that industry because there's so many hardworking people. But I just haven't worked since, and basically, just every once in a while, I'll do a little data entry and live off my savings. And I just thank you so much for making this movie.
How's that experience going for you? How has it changed your life?
Well, I'm able to read books. I just finished a huge book by David Halberstam on the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me how it comes out.
No, I finished it. I had to renew it 3 times.
I read that last week in like a day.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
Anyway, I just finished. I'm in the middle of one book on atheism, read another book on, a huge novel by a Russian, the most famous Russian author, but the guy who was inside the system and never got out of it. Anyway,
if you're looking for me for that answer,
I was going to say Dostoevsky, but that's just a guess.
I can't quite.
I'll say Tolstoy.
Okay,
that's the only other Russian author.
All right, so we want letters from our emails. Tell us which one is right. Yeah. So, David, thanks very much for the call, and we wish you luck with your burgeoning career.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Bye, bye.
David.
Interesting that you do a film about a guy who is sort of at the sixes and sevens and consciously doing nothing. You have been very driven in your career, it seems.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's interesting what he was saying because I do feel that you can keep going and going and going and almost, you know, be on this hamster wheel where you don't think about it. And that, for me, it was when I had kids where I started to think about how much I worked. I've always enjoyed working. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it becomes about balance in your life. And for me, when I had kids, I started to realize that, you know, there's no way to sort of balance being – when you're away from your kids there's just no way to get that time back, and you have to figure out in your life what's important to you in terms of time for them, time for yourself, what's going to make you a happy person and be happy when you're with them, and also finding the joy in just being able to not be defined through your work. And so for me, that's been a, you know, sort of a learning curve, you know. But I really do admire when somebody can say, you know what, I'm just going to take time to just be and not be defined through my actions. And I think, you know, I think maybe in the movie it's a little bit different because Greenberg's coming, you know.
Got other issues, yeah.
Yeah, and it's almost a defense mechanism for him, and he's sort of trying to, you know, justify where he's at in his life because things haven't happened the way he wanted them to. You know, really, I always think about that line in I'll paraphrase, but it's in, I think it's Manhattan, you know, Woody Allen talks about people just being obsessed with their, they get obsessed with their own little problems in life, and because it's really the bigger questions in life that we're all intimidated by, like why we're here, what are we doing, and you know, it's it can be that in life where you just focus on, you know, what's in front of you, and if you take a second to breathe, you feel all sorts of different things.
Let's see, we get one last caller in, Andy. Andy's with us from Okemos. Am I pronouncing that right? In Michigan?
It's Okemos, Michigan.
Okemos.
Thank you for having me on, Neil.
Go ahead, please.
Hi, Ben. I know you recently got a Twitter account a few months ago, and it seems like you're a regular contributor. I was kind of wondering about how you see the role of Twitter in your life as a celebrity or as a public figure, or is that just a fun thing that you do, and how does that work? I'm kind of curious about how you use social media.
Me too. Yeah. I started on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Do you friend everybody back? I mean, you follow them too?
I do not. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how to follow people. Or friend them. I think following is what you do.
And Twitter.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, first of all, you have to feel that whatever you're, whatever you're tweeting about is interesting enough that people would want to read it. That's my big struggle always. It's like, you know, what am I doing that's worth sending a message out to the world about? And then they have this thing called direct messaging where you can basically send a direct message, a private message to somebody else who's following you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have screwed up with that about four or five times where I've said, hey, I'm going to be – I'll meet you at the, you know, at this restaurant at 8 o'clock and I sent it out to a million people. And nobody cared, interestingly enough.
That's interesting, yeah.
But I do find it a really useful tool in terms of being able to – get a message out to a broader audience of people like a guy in Haiti who's tweeting about what's going on there and has 17,000 followers. If you can get it out to more people, it's really useful. So,
Well, good luck with the movie.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Ben Stiller stars in the new movie Greenberg, and he joins us today from our bureau in New York. You can watch clips from Greenberg online at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation, and yes, that Twitter account, Neil Conan, one word. Tomorrow, Life in Year One, guest host Rebecca Roberts talks with religious scholar Scott Corby. This is NPR News.